Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
This morning I want you to find the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Ms. Phyllis asked me this morning, said, what you going to preach on today? And sometimes I'll tell her, the Word. The Word. That's a good idea, right? Amen. Preach on the Word. But I told her, I said, you know, I've got a really unusual message this morning. I was trying to preach on something else, and the Lord just would not release me from this. And so it's very unusual, but I want to talk to you this morning about this subject, about the mystery of death. I can tell you're excited. What, you know, there's a mystery behind death. Help me know that. That the world will tell you, we don't know what's going to happen to you when you die. Some think they know what's going to happen to you, that you're going to come back as somebody else. I'm not interested in that. Or even some, you know, you're going to come back as some kind of animal or something and all. Some people say, well, you know, you're just going to kind of float around out there and haunt your mother-in-law or something. I don't know. You know, there's all kinds of thoughts about what's going to happen to you after you die. But did you know the Bible gives us the answers? It gives us the answers. And so I think it's just good to know. You know, because, you know, I have this, and Phyllis tries to tell me that I do this, but you have a tendency sometimes, or I do, to assume people know things that I've known for years. And you just assume they know it too. And then sometimes you're shocked when you find out that they haven't heard that. They don't know that. And, of course, you know, there's just all kinds of beliefs about this. But the Bible tells us what's going to happen to us when we do die, what's going to take place. I tell you what I'm voting for. I'm voting for the rapture. And just skip all of that. You know what I'm saying? But if the Lord would tarry just a little bit, we're gonna face it, all of us. And I know that's not sometimes pleasant, but I think once you know what the Bible says is going to happen to you, it sure isn't anything that you want to miss. Amen. It sure makes going a lot easier. Amen. So I want you to go with me because, you know, I'm sure friends in the ministry, maybe not close friends, but people that we know in the ministry, you know, they think different things about what's going to happen. Some people think that, you know, when I first got saved, I was around some people, older Pentecostals, that believed what was called soul sleep, that when you died, you were just unconscious and you wouldn't be awake until the resurrection. But what does the Bible say about it? I don't really care for that one because if that's the case, I want to stay here as long as I possibly can. But anyway, I just want to see what God's Word says about it. So let's go here to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Are y'all with me this morning? Yes. We're going to do some teaching this morning about this. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 1, Paul says, it's not expedient for me, doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ, and most people believe he's talking about himself here. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows. Such a one caught up to the third heaven, and I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows. How that he was caught up into paradise, and he heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. So the Apostle Paul is talking about an experience he had. Many believe, I do too, that he received revelation of the gospel in this experience that he had. Because he tells us the gospel that I preached to you was not taught of men. I didn't get it from men, nor from man. You understand, he did not know personally the other apostles. after he got saved, it was years before he met them. So he didn't get the gospel from them. Even when he talks about communion, he said, I received this of the Lord. I got this from the Lord, see. So many believe, I do too, that Paul here was caught up into heaven and he received revelation. One of the things that Paul had revelation on that some of the others didn't seem to maybe not know as much about is the rapture of the church. Paul had, he called it, I'm going to show you a mystery. And so he had revelation that he got directly from God. But in this particular passage right here, he says, whether I was in the body, I can't tell you. Or whether I was out of the body, I can't tell you. So that lets me know there's someone living on the inside of us that can get out of us and keep on living. So are y'all following what I'm saying? See, Paul said, I don't know whether I was in the body or whether I was out of the body. That must mean there's a man on the inside of you. And when you really study the scriptures, he looks like the man on the outside. But the thing that's different about him is he can get out of this outer man and keep on living. But this outer man can't live without him. James said the body without the spirit is dead. He didn't say the spirit without the body is dead. That inner man can keep on living. And Paul said, I really don't know whether I was in my body or I was in my spirit. I couldn't tell you which one it was. So it lets me know there's somebody there, hallelujah, on the inside of us that once our body dies, he keeps on living. Amen. He keeps on going. Amen. And so that's something. You need to understand this, and I learned this years ago. Because people sometimes think, and there's this teaching. Now, let me just say to you, there's been a rash of teachings coming up to attack the fundamental beliefs we've believed in the church for years. And I'm for getting rid of any tradition that's not scriptural. But I'm not getting rid of any of them that stood the test of time and stand the test of scriptures. Just because it's a new word. That's called winds of doctrine. And there's this new teaching going around now, and sometimes I told Phyllis this morning, I said, I don't know where I should bring some of these things up or not, because probably a lot of you never heard of it, and now you're going to hear about it. But just in case, but there's this new teaching that says, you know, hell's not forever. Jesus said, it is. That's what he said. He didn't say it was just for a period of time. He said, their torment ascends forever and ever. Their worm dies not. So don't fall for this new revelation. Really, some of it's not new. It was around years ago and got put back down, and now it's rising back up. But we just need to stick with what Jesus said.
Yes, amen.
Right? Yep. And some people try to make the Bible so far away from us, like, oh, you got to have all that. You got to have a PhD and all to understand the Bible. Listen to me. God had the Bible written for us. You understand that? Read it, believe it. He gave you the Holy Spirit to understand. I'm not knocking an education, but I'm saying God did not have the Bible written and then say everybody's got to go get a PhD now to understand what I said. Jesus spoke in simple terms. Actually, it was the smarter people, supposedly smarter in the world, that didn't get what he said. They're the ones that didn't get it because they let their intellect get in the way. Paul said that they professed themselves to be wise and they became fools. So you and I, we have a man on the inside that once our body dies, he's going somewhere. No, he's not floating around out here somewhere tormenting people. Well, what about those seances, Pastor, where they bring people, you know, your dead loved ones up? They don't ever do it. They bring up what's called familiar spirits. Amen. Let me tell you, Christians, I didn't mean to get off on this, but you need to stay far away from that stuff. God does not want you to get any direction from anything but His Word and His Spirit. He doesn't want you having direction from demons or devils or anybody else. Because but she knew. I mean, Madam Faye knew. Well, yeah, the devil knows some things. But that's not where you're supposed to get your information. I remember as a kid, our parents just, they didn't know any better. Remember the Ouija boards? Remember those? Now, those were like supposed to be games, but I'm going to tell you what, they were real. I remember one time my cousin and I, we were asking one a question, and that thing, that you know, that little thing on there is moving by itself. I saw it. That's demons. You're getting over in the demon world. I don't need the devil to tell me what's going to happen. I got the Word of God to tell me what's going to happen. I got the Holy Spirit to tell me what's going to come. I don't get information from Him. God forbid that. Don't even read your horoscope. That's not good. Y'all listen to me. Well, you know, I know I'm a whatever they are. I can't even think of them. I'm a Leo. No, you're not. You're a new creature in Christ. Forget all. Don't even go there. Amen. So we just understand. I want you to know there's a man. I wanted to read the scripture because I want you to see there's a man on the inside. And Paul recognized. He said, I couldn't tell which one it was, whether it's my outer man or inner man, which means they look a lot alike. You see how you look? Now, I do believe that once we get our glorified body, it's going to be glorified. That means imperfections are gone. But you're not going to look like Cary Grant. For those of you that are old enough to know that name. Oh, I thought I was going to look like Clark Gable. No, you're going to look like you. You mean I'm stuck with this mug throughout eternity? Yeah, but it's going to be glorified. Amen. You'll get some missing stuff back. How many are glad about that? You talk about the ultimate diet plan. Glorified body. Sometimes when I've been trying to lose weight for 35 years, sometimes I think I might as well just wait to my glorified body. But I'm still working on. I'm still trying to be disciplined. Amen. Well, I want you to see it. How many see what Paul's saying here? How many say? He said, there's a man. He said, I can't tell you whether I'm in my body or out of my body, which means there's not that much discernible difference, really. But there is a man on the inside. And when he comes out of that body, he just keeps on living. So he has to go somewhere, all right? If he belongs to the Lord, he goes to be with the Lord. If he doesn't, he goes to hell. Now, I want you to read a scripture in Luke chapter 16. You don't mind we talk about this morning, do you? Luke chapter 16. I think it's important for us to know and be ready. Because as you get older, listen now, as you get older, so if you when you're young, you think you got all the time in the world. But as you start to get a little older, you know, I'm not an old man, but I'm heading towards 70. And so that's young compared to some of y'all. I won't mention any names. There's one in the back and one in the front, a little older than me. But no, there's more than one in the front older than me. I think all these people are older. Pastor Jerry pointed to Miss Kay. Yeah, here we go. Oh, they're not older than me by much. But you know what? Here's the thing. Do you realize that if you didn't know the Lord, that could be depressing? When you look at yourself and you think, man, I only got, just a few years. You know what I'm saying? It's flying by. It's flying by. But when you think right about it, you think, it's just a few years till my promotion. That's all it's going to be. I'm going to be glad when it's over with. See, I heard one minister say this. I thought it was good. I think it's right. He was telling his church, he said, the moment that you die, and you come out of your body, if you're saved, you'll look on your body laying there on the table or the bed or whatever, and your first thought will be, well, I'm glad that's over with. Because you'll feel so good and you'll feel so free. Yeah. Amen. Amen. I believe in divine healing. How many believe in divine healing? But I still tell my body, needs some help every now and then. I'm aware of it. And I'm not talking unbelief. I'm just talking about Paul said the outward man, he perishes, he wears out, doesn't he? So I get aware of that. Some mornings I wake up and think, man, this body, it ain't 26 any longer. But once I get out of it, that's going to be liberating and free. Now, I don't want to go till it's time to go, till my race is run, but I'm just simply saying, what's ahead of us is far better than what we got right now. Amen. And you know, when you're young, you don't really think this way. I didn't. Maybe you do, but I didn't. I didn't think that way. I thought, man, I got forever still. But suddenly, it's like, you know, we're winding down here. Well, Pastor, you could have 20 more years. You could have 20 more years. Well, yeah, I could have 20 more. I might have, you don't know, I might have 30. Yeah. Amen. I might be up here at 100 still preaching to you. Amen. I don't know.
We're going to be here listening.
Amen. How many y'all coming? Depends on how you preach that in 100. All right. Look at Luke 16. Come on, are y'all there? Luke 16. Let's go there. Now, Jesus, this is Jesus. He says, verse 16, there was a certain rich man. Now, I want to stop right there because some people say this is a parable. No, he said certain. And I'm going to tell you why I know this is not a parable, because Jesus said this was certain. And here's another one. When he talks about the poor man, he uses his name. He names him. He never did that in a parable with people. If it was a parable, he never called him by name. This really happened. Y'all with me now? He said, verse 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. He lived high. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gates full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. So what happened to him the moment he died? What happened to him? He didn't float around somewhere. He didn't torment his relatives. He didn't go into a state of unconsciousness. He went to Abraham's bosom, a place of paradise and comfort. Now, I don't have time to teach on this. You'll just have to take my word for it, but I don't have time to teach it. Before Jesus was raised from the dead, did you know everybody went into, we call it hell, but you know the Greek calls it Hades. But there was a region in there called Abraham's bosom, which was a place of comfort. Now, this is more than one scripture if you study your Bible. See, because why? Because till Jesus paid the price, Satan had legal claim on everybody. Amen. And so they went, but God would not let them go into that torment part. He had a comfort part for them. Now, once Jesus paid the price, the Bible says he led captivity captive. He went down there and got them out. Hallelujah. And took them to heaven. But when this man died, he didn't float around somewhere. He didn't go into unconsciousness. He went directly to Abraham's bosom. But notice this. The rich man also died. And what do you do when somebody dies? And was buried. And what happened? And in hell. He went to hell. And in hell, he lifted his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. It doesn't sound like him and his friends were partying in hell, does it? You ever heard that? I'm going to hell because I'm going to party. This guy wasn't partying. He was in torment. In fact, I think it's just good to redress this. Verse 25, Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received good things and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he's comforted and you're tormented. And besides this, there's between you and, And us, there's this great gulf fix. So see, they were in the same place. They were just separated. So that they which would pass from you cannot, and they which would pass from us to you can't either. Then he said, now listen to this. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. Send Lazarus to my father's house. For I have five brethren that he may testify to them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Look, this man is in such torment, he does not want his brothers coming here.
Amen.
How many know we should be evangelists before we get to hell? We need to be evangelists today. What do you mean? I'm not talking about the calling of an evangelist, but do the work of an evangelist so that nobody goes to this place.
Right. See? Amen.
And Abraham said to him, they have the prophet Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one went to them from the dead, they will repent. And listen to what Abraham said. He said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Did you know God has given us witness in this earth on how to get to heaven? It's called his word. Right? Nobody has an excuse because there's Bibles all over America. Right? Isn't that not, is that right? You can't ever get there and say, I didn't know. God said, why didn't you read my book? Well, I just didn't want to read your book. Well, that was your mistake right there. You made a mistake. But we as believers, we got to let people know that this book is true. This is God's word, and this is the map for salvation. Right? Amen. We got to let them know. Now, if something supernatural would happen. Notice what Abraham said. He said, if somebody went back from the dead, they wouldn't believe it. They won't believe the word. They won't believe that. Only the word has the power to persuade you. Amen. See, I got saved because I'd heard the word. Somebody had sowed the word into my life. I couldn't even tell you what the preacher preached the night I got saved. Now, I do know I went one Sunday night and he preached. I wasn't saved. I do remember him preaching on the rapture because he liked to scare the heebie-jeebies out of me with that one. But the night I got saved, I have no idea what he preached on. But see, it really didn't come from that. It come because somebody, mostly my mother, took time to sow seed into my life of the word.
Amen.
Amen. And when that pastor came along and preached, all he did was water. The seed was already there. That's all he did. Amen. So we see right here, how many can see? Here we have definitive answers on what happens to us when we die. We're going someplace. We're not staying here. We're either going to go to paradise, heaven, we call it today, or we're going to go into hell. Amen. And this is nothing to play with. You know, I don't know. Sometimes I think about things and I think about if I could keep what I know, keep the knowledge I have right now about God, and somehow would be transported back to 18 years old, what would I do? Would I keep partying? Would I keep drinking? Would I keep doing drugs? You know what I say to myself? No, I'd get saved right then. Because I know how serious it is if you miss heaven. There's no second chances. God doesn't grade on a curve. You're either born again or you're not born again. You're either living for Jesus or you're not living for Jesus. If you're playing with it today, you better quit playing with it because you're playing with fire and you could get burned. You need to make sure I'm right with God. You need to make sure that I'm living for the Lord.
Amen.
Well, I said a prayer, Pastor, way back 10 years ago. That didn't mean anything. Did you mean it? Are you living for God today? Are you serving Him today? Do you love Him? Amen. So, this is a little different this morning. I hope you get something out of it. But we have to understand that when we die, we're going somewhere. Look what Paul said to the church at Philippi, book of Philippians. Chapter 1, sometimes I use this at a funeral if the Lord leads me, in Philippians 1. And I tell you what, let's just begin reading with verse 21, Philippians 1, 20, 21. You know, when you're young, and not all young people, I'm not laying this on you, we all think this way, but I go back and think about how I thought, that you thought you had a long time. You thought you were invincible. I look at some of the things we did when I was young, some of the people I rode with even in their cars and stuff, and think, that was stupid. It's a wonder we weren't killed, you know. You know what I mean? The way they drove and what the thing. We drove when we'd been on drugs. And we drove when we were drinking. It just felt like you're invincible. Even though some of your friends did get killed, did die. Some did die of drugs. Some died wrecks and things like that. But, you know, you just felt like, well, it wouldn't happen to me. Well, listen to me. Without Jesus Christ of Nazareth and the protection of the angels, anything could happen. I mean, you got to know that. You got to get yourself ready. Amen? I said, amen? You got to get yourself, make sure you're ready to go. Look what Paul said to the church at Philippi. He said in the first chapter, verse 21, he said, For to me to live is Christ, and to die is what?
Gain.
It's gain. Now here's the thing, because I've studied this out. That word gain actually in the Greek means promotion. So when we die, when our loved ones die in the Lord, or we die, when it comes our time and we're in the Lord, we just got promoted.
Right.
Now I want to tell you, if we're just going to float out there somewhere, or we're just going to be in an unconscious state until the resurrection, that's not a promotion to me.
No.
I just leave to stay on the earth. I love life. I'm just talking about in the natural, I love life. Oh yeah, I have challenges like you do. I have days I wish things would go away. Sometimes you have people you wish they'd go away. Come on, how are you honest about that? Don't look around when you say it either. All right. You have things, you know, but overall, I love living life. I'm having a good time serving the Lord. I'm having a good time being married to my wife.
Amen.
I'm just enjoying our, you know, we have a good time. So if I was just going to just not know anything, just fall asleep and not know anything, or I just assume just stay on the earth. But Paul must have thought he's going somewhere. Amen.
Yeah.
He said in Corinthians, he told the church, the Corinth, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. He said, we're willing to be absent from the body and be present with the Lord. Amen. But look at what Paul said. He said, verse 22, this is the King James. It's a little wordy here. He says, but if I live in the flesh, this is fruit. I'll have fruit for my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I want not, or I can't decide. I'm in a strait or hard press between the two, having desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is why? What is it?
Far better.
So when we die, we're going to go do something far. Everybody get that? What now?
Far
better. Not just a little bit better. Just, oh, well, it'll be okay. Oh, no, it's going to be better than going to Holiday World. It's called far better. So what's that tell you? We're going someplace. The moment we die, we're going someplace. Now, Paul went on to say something pretty strong. He said, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know I'm going to stick around. I love this because you know where he's at? When he wrote this, you know where he was at? How many know where he was at?
Prison.
He was in prison. He was in prison, and the Roman government was going to take his head off. But did you notice Paul didn't even mention the Roman government when he said about was making a decision whether he's going to go or stay? They didn't factor into it. He said, I'm deciding this. Did y'all get that? I think that's powerful. That they're telling him, we're going to take your head off. And he's not even talking about them. Come on, somebody. When you're born again and you're in Jesus Christ, you have some authority over some things. And that's what he was saying. I can't decide whether I'm going to go. I could let them take my head off, but I don't think I will. I think I'll just stay. And he did. He got out. Went to Rome. Amen. I don't know where that hits you like it hits me, but boy, I'm looking for something far better. This is not a cliche. This is the Bible. Amen. When we pass, when our body dies, when our body gives out, you're about to get far better. Amen. Now, I think I'm living pretty good, but I like far better, better. Remember what Jesus said to the thief on the cross? I remember that. Today. You think he lied about it?
No.
He said, today, you're going to be with me in paradise. Amen. Today. Now, I want you to go with me, and we'll close right here. Did you get anything this morning?
Yes.
Let's go here, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, because Paul talks about, and I can see how people could get this, but I want to explain it to you. Paul talks about those that sleep in Jesus. What does he mean by that? They sleep in Jesus. Well, let's talk about what he meant by that, and I think this will help you, those that sleep in Jesus. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, the Apostle Paul said this. He said, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Now, let me stop there. Let me make this comment, and then I'll back it up with some scripture. When Paul talks about, because he does this more than one place, the Bible talks about the dead being asleep more than one place. This is not the only place. There's other places. But I'll explain it to you here in a minute. But let me just, so you're thinking this way, let me say this. The part of you that falls asleep is your body. But it's going to get awakened at the resurrection. You know, when God created us, he made us spirit, soul, and body. And he intends for us to complete eternity out, spirit, soul, and body. So we're not complete until we get our glorified body. We're living, because Paul said there's a man on the inside that can still live on. He still lives on, but he's not complete until he gets that body. That's the way God intended it. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:23, by the way. But so we know that, all right? He says, verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus God will bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain at the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. How many know that's the rapture? To be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And so, you know, Paul's just telling this church, you know, because evidently they've had some false teaching that, you know, their loved ones are gone and they're never going to see them again. Paul said, no, that's not the case. God's going to bring them back with him. And this is, here at the rapture of the church, in Corinthians, Paul said, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep or not all die, but we'll all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible. So when Jesus comes back to get the church, those of us that are alive and remain, we're going to get our glorified bodies. But those that have already gone on, they're going to get their bodies. We're going to be reunited again. Amen. Now, there's a scripture. Scott, if you could put Matthew 27, 50, 53. I want to read this to you because I want to show you the part of you that gets awakened is your body. Look what the Bible says. Jesus, when he cried with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in two from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks rent. This is talking about at the cross. And the graves were opened. And notice this, many of the bodies of the saints which slept arose. Their body got up. Y'all see that? That's what's going to happen at the rapture of the church. Some bodies are going to get up.
Amen.
Amen. And came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Wouldn't you love to have been there that day? I don't know who all got up. It doesn't tell us, but it says many of the saints, their bodies got up. Now, how many of the Bible says, let's do 1 Corinthians 15:20. Let's look at this. But now Christ is the first fruits from the dead, becoming the first fruits of them which slept. So Christ was, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them which slept. So Christ was the firstfruits. In other words, when he got up, he was first. You understand that? But there was so much power released when he got up, some others got up too. It was like, whoa, that power got loose here. And they're walking. These are people with glorified bodies. How many know when Christ got up, what did he get? He got his glorified body. So when these saints got up, what did they get? They got their glorified body. They're walking around in the city of Jerusalem with glorified bodies. Could you imagine being there and like, that's Uncle Fred. This is freaky. It doesn't tell us who got up, but some got up. Amen. Well, Christ was the first fruits of those that slept. The first fruits. Well, think about this. What does it mean by the first? Well, he's the first one that got his glorified body. He got up. But you got to think about it if you're thinking right. All right. When he died and was buried, was he unconscious? No. He said he was in, the Bible says he was in the heart of the earth. The heart of the earth. And it goes on to tell us that even Peter said he went down in there and preached. Right? So he wasn't unconscious. He wasn't asleep. He said, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. Was Jonah unconscious in that belly of that whale? No. Yeah. Right? I'm just saying, we got good news. When we die, we're going to go be with the Lord. Now, I'll close with this. There, you know, how many understand, and I've told you this before, and you know, if you know me, you know this. If I give you one scripture, I got 10 or 12 others. They're just all over the place. But did you know, you find this in the book of Revelation, that John saw those that had been beheaded for Christ and had been slain during the tribulation period for their testimony. Here's the thing. Jesus is coming at the rapture of the church to get those that are saved and born again. Then the tribulation period starts. And listen, during that tribulation period, some people are going to get saved. They're going to get saved. But the difference is you may die for your faith for that. You can't buy or sell without the mark of the beast. You take the mark of the beast, you can't ever be saved. So you have to make a choice. So those people stood strong for Jesus and they were murdered. They were slain. And John, he said, I saw them around the altar. They were in heaven. They weren't floating out somewhere. They weren't unconscious. They were in heaven. And you study this, which I have, and I think you probably know I have, or I wouldn't be saying this, but you study Revelation 20, those martyrs during the tribulation period, they don't get their glorified body until the tribulation's over and Christ returns. So these guys are in heaven without their bodies yet. Just like you and I, if the Lord returns, or the Lord doesn't return, and we go by the way of the grave, we're going to be in heaven for a while before we get our bodies. But there's a time we're coming back with Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, how does God do all that? I don't know. He's God. People say, well, you know, their body burned up in a fire. Well, so what? Let me tell you something about this. God's going to resurrect your body no matter where it's at. You're going to get a glorified body. Paul said you're planting a seed and it's going to come up. But did you know this now? I've learned this years ago that everybody who's ever lived on this earth, their DNA is still here. It's still here. All that made them, it's still here. It's still in the earth. I don't care how, you know, if someone died 2,000 years ago and their body's wasted away to nothing but dirt, that DNA is still here. And scientists have proven this. You can check this out. Scientists have proven, and they have said, that DNA responds to certain sounds. Certain sounds. Isn't it interesting that the scripture we just read in Thessalonians, it says, The Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise. What's happening? That call, that trumpet, that voice, that archangel shout will call all that DNA together, no matter where it's at, bring it back. God will glorify it and give everybody their bodies back. Hallelujah. That's our God. I said, that's our God. You know, people sometimes, I've heard this before, people get weird ideas that aren't based on the scriptures and things and so forth and say, a shark ate their body. I mean, they're going to be bodiless throughout eternity. How many know what the shark did something with that digested body? I'll leave the rest to you. That DNA is in the ocean. You ever read in the Revelation said, did the seal give up the dead in it? There's DNA out there in the sea. In the sea, there's people's DNA. It's going to give it up. God's going to put it back together. Only it isn't going to be like that old broken down thing. Amen. We're going to get a new thing. We're going to get a glorified thing. Hallelujah. With the life of God in it. Amen. So what happens to us when we die? Well, we don't have to be afraid of it. We don't have to fear. The scriptures tell us. The rich man died and was carried of the angels to Abraham's bosom right away, immediately. Had a lady one time, and I understood her heart, and I felt for her. She's a sweet, sweet, sweet person. Loved Jesus. Her husband died out doing something. And she was talking to me about it. And she said, he died all alone. He died all alone. I said, no, he didn't die alone. The Bible says the angels came. He died with the best help he could possibly get. He didn't die alone. He didn't die out there by himself. So you can comfort that he had all the assistance, all the help he can, because Jesus said the angels came to carry him to Abraham's bosom. The angels came to get him. Hallelujah. We've heard of that and seen examples of that where people were dying and all of a sudden they start seeing over into the glory world. Amen. And when they do that, you can forget praying for them. They're not coming. They're not sticking around. They're not coming back. Amen. It's a mystery to the world, but it's not a mystery to us. We've got the Bible on it, amen? And see, a pastor one time, and I'll just leave names out of this, but a pastor one time, he gave one of his congregations some of the best advice I'd ever heard about. One of their loved ones had died, and they didn't know where they were saved, and they were really concerned about that, and actually they would be. And the devil will use that to torment you. You know what I'm saying? And I love what this pastor said. He said, you have no idea. This may not be exact words, but you have no idea what they did the moment before they died. You have no idea. So you could spend your life grieving that your loved one's in hell, and you get to heaven, and they'd be the first one you meet, and you go, why did I? I could have had a V8. How many know that commercial? I didn't have to worry about that. They made it.
Amen.
Why? Because all the thief on the cross said is to Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. What happened? His heart turned. And the Lord said, you're going to be with me in paradise today. Amen. I'm going to ask the team to come up. I hope you got something today. I didn't really want to preach this message. Not that it's a bad message. I just thought, well, that's kind of strange, Father. But people need to know, and they need to be assured that once you die, it gets better. It doesn't get worse. unless you don't know Jesus. Now, if you don't know Jesus or you're just playing church, well, then I'd get that straightened out. Really, I'd get that straightened out right now. I wish, you know, we all probably have those thoughts. I wish I could go back and counsel my young self. Things have been a lot different, but you can't change that. All you can do is do what's right now and live for God now. But I don't know if I could go back, I'd get saved the moment I got back and give my life to Jesus. Why? Well, number one, I love living this way a lot better than I did the other way. I love Jesus. I love the Word. I love God. Amen. And I don't want to take any chance on not making it to heaven. I'm going to heaven. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.